Take your Bibles and turn with me. Let's start off again in the book of Joshua. The sixth chapter of the book of Joshua is where we will start. I'm just going to read a couple verses, catch up real quickly, and then move to where we're going to go tonight. Joshua chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 22. Joshua chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 22. What the word says. It says, but Joshua, now let me catch up because he's jumping off maybe in a little bit different place than we had been. The walls have fallen. Jericho has fallen and Israel is about to go in and possess what God has promised to them. I'll catch up on that in just a moment, but that's what we pick up, verse 22. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country previously, go into the harlot Rahab's house. And from there, bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. Go get her, just like we covenanted with her. You gave her the promise, so go get her and everyone that's with her. And the young man who had been spies with him brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. She dwelled, where our focus is really going to be right there tonight. She dwells in Israel to this day. That's going to mean something when we get there tonight. We've been talking about Rahab and the keys that she learned and that we can learn from her about living beyond Jericho and living in the promises of God. Because Rahab had to learn some things. We really talked about four things. We talked about living well. She had to learn to live well. She had to learn to communicate with God in her heart to live well. She had to learn to live free. The promise was given, but she had to learn to live free. Remember, we talked about living with the cord. She had to learn to live with the cord. She had to keep that cord there. So that cord was her symbol of freedom, and that scarlet cord represents to us the blood of Jesus Christ, where our freedom comes from. And she had to learn to live free and to live within the house there and to live in that freedom. And then she had to learn how to live whole. And where did she do that? She learned to live whole at the camp of Israel. Notice in the scripture, we talked about that last week, that I just read to you, that they brought her and her family out and they left them outside the camp of Israel, and then she dwelt in Israel until that day. And so she learned to live whole now. She learned to put her past behind her, learned to live whole by learning to live in the camp of God's people. She was able to deal with her issues and her struggles and her past and her battles, because now she was put in a place that she could become whole, a place that she would be accepted, a place that she could be connected, and a place that she would be empowered. And we're gonna hit that even again tonight, just a little bit. She had to learn to leave Jericho. Remember we talked about that. She had to learn to leave. If you're gonna live whole, you gotta learn to leave. You gotta leave to live. If she did not leave Jericho, she could not have lived. So she had to learn to leave to live, and then she had to learn to look. Look, when living at the camp of Israel, man, that she could look and see the place of sacrifice, look and see the house of God, the tabernacle, and all that that meant. She could look, and I talked about this, if we're going to live whole, we've got to leave where we were. We've got to live in who God has called us to be now with God's people, learning to deal with our issues and work things together and walk together in the promises of God. And we've got to look to Jesus. That's what that tabernacle would have represented. We've got to look. So we are learning to live whole. If you want to live whole, you've got to leave to live to look. Okay? And we hit that and we talk. And so tonight, we're going to talk about how Rahab learns to live full. If you're going to live beyond Jericho, now to back all the way up to the beginning, Jericho was a place of walls. It represented a place of boundaries. And there is life beyond your boundaries, but you have to learn to live beyond your boundaries. Jericho was a place of mixture. Remember, we brought that up at the very beginning. That there was good, but yet there was wickedness within the city. There was good things that she had in her life, but there was wickedness. There was a mingle. There was a mixing. It was a fragrant place. It was a beautiful place, but it was a place of mixture. You've got to learn to live life beyond the mixture of sin and salvation. We don't have to settle for a mixture in our life. We can live beyond. And Jericho was a place of fleshly importance. It was a gateway to the Jordan River Valley. It was the most important city in that area of the Promised Land. And she had to learn that what was important to the flesh, there's life beyond that. And so what does she do? She has to learn to live beyond her limitations. She has to learn to live past her mixture. She has to learn to live past what's important to her flesh. And how does she do that? She does that by learning to live well, to live free, to live whole, and now tonight, to live full. This is important. Tonight is important because if you do not learn to live full, you will always be tempted to go back. If you do not live full, you will be tempted to return. That's important for you to realize. Many people start out to live beyond their limitations in their past. They start out to live beyond their mixture. Their desires to not live stuck in these two worlds of sinner and saint, of believer and failure. You know, and they don't want to live there. They start out with the right intentions. They start out wanting to put away what's important to their flesh and live with what is important in God. But if they do not fill up with what God offers them, they are always tempted and always struggling with going back. How many recognize you can choose to leave, but if you don't live full in the place you come to, where you left will look more appealing? Amen. This happens in every area of life. You can be ready to leave a job. And you can be so ready to leave that job. And you can move to another job. And at that next job, if you do not find fulfillment, if you are not full, if you do not enjoy it, if you don't find what you are looking for, if you don't give everything for it, then what you left begins to look a little more appealing. Amen. Are y'all with me? That happens in our life. That happens in relationships. That's the problem we have in our culture today, is people will leave relationships looking for something different, something better, something they perceive as better, and when they get to the next thing, that's not a full thing either, and so what they left looks more appealing. And they're tempted to go back. And so Rahab could have been tempted to try to return, to try to leave the protection of Israel if she did not find fullness. It's important that she finds that she had to live well in order to be ready for victory. She had to live free, meaning she had to have things in order so that she could be set free from the judgment and the destruction. She had to live whole, meaning when she came out, there were some things she had to process and she had to deal with and she had to look to Jesus. But if she doesn't make it to fullness, she may not make it. That's vital. That's why it is so important that when people come to the Lord, that we need to connect with them and we need to lead them beyond just a moment at an altar or at their seat or in their home of coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And we need to lead them into discipleship, because the farther we lead them in the Lord, the farther behind they're leaving their past and the more fulfilled they're becoming in their new life. Have you ever seen anyone that came out of something, but they never made it all the way to fullness in their new life, only to return? Is that not sad? It doesn't have to be that way. And so tonight, we're going to look at Rahab living full. And we don't have a lot, we don't have a detailed description of what her life was like, but we have enough instances about her to understand what brought her fullness on this journey. And so we're going to pull those out tonight, and we're going to find out what that means to us and how we can learn to live full. Here's what we must live full of. You ready? We need to be full of faith, the Word. We need to be full of love, and we need to be full of the Spirit. Amen. If we're going to live full, then we need to be full of faith. The more, I'm trying to decide if the wording is right there. The more full I am of faith, the less room I have for doubt. Okay? The more of the Word that I possess within my heart, the less of the world I have in my heart. The more love I have to share with other people because God has loved me and Christ first loved me, the more I love, the less time I have to hurt others. Amen? I'm becoming what God has called me to be now. I'm living in the promises of God. The more I am full of His Spirit, walking in His Spirit, living in His Spirit, communicating with God, for God is Spirit, that's what the Word says. And the more I am full of His Spirit, when I'm walking full of His Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of my flesh. It's just biblical principles. And so the problem with many people is they're not living full. So we need to understand what living full means, and then that needs to become our goal. And so that's where we're headed tonight, and we're going to hit that, and I'm going to hit 3 points, and then I'm going to get into the next part of our lesson tonight, and we're going to tie that all together. So the first part, we're going to hit these points that we know about Rahab that brought her to fulfillment in her new life beyond Jericho, and then we're going to relate them to us, okay? So, let's start off in this journey to being full, and turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, New Testament, Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and the 31st verse. One verse, Hebrews 11, and verse 31. It's the chapter of faith. Some people call it the Hall of Faith. You know, you have your Hall of Fames. This is the Hall of Faith, where God just begins to list off all these people of great faith. Absolutely, I would too. There's no Hall of Fame I can think of I'd rather be in than this Hall of Faith right here. Okay, look at what verse 31 says, and I know it's up there on the screen, so look right there. What does that say? By what? By faith, the harlot, prostitute, Rahab, did not perish with those who did not believe. When she had received the spies with peace. Look at that again. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. Everyone else in that city of Jericho had heard of the exploits of God. We already went through that. I won't recount all of that. They had heard about God and the exploits of Israel, that God had delivered them, that they had been winning victories. Rahab told the spies that. We have heard of what your God has done, and our hearts melted within us. We knew you were coming. We knew God was the deliverer. We knew God was the answer. But the only one in that city that believed was Rahab. Why did all the others die and were destroyed? Because they did not believe. And there is judgment upon those who do not believe. They heard and did not believe. Rahab believed, gathered her family together, and apparently her family had to believe because they stayed in the room with her. And And then they led them out when victory time came. And so we see here that the first thing about Rahab that caused her to live full was by faith. Now, well, it goes deeper than that, though. It was by faith Rahab became a part of the family of Abraham. By faith. She believed. And because she believed, they brought, remember what I read to you earlier, they brought her and her family out, and they put them outside the camp of Israel, and they lived in Israel, with Israel, as part of Israel, to that day. The day that was written. You know what that means? They became engrafted into the family of Abraham. The covenant that God had made with Abraham was now hers. The family of Abraham, now she was a part of. She was engrafted in to Israel by faith. Faith makes you full. It wasn't by her works, it was by her faith. It wasn't by her birthright, she didn't have a birthright. She was pagan by birthright. It was because she believed. And wasn't that the whole idea of the covenant with Abraham? The Romans tells us that Abraham received the covenant of God, the promise of God, how? By faith. It wasn't by works. It wasn't. Remember this. Always remember this. Abraham was long before Moses. And the law. Long before. It wasn't about law. Law was simply, law came in to Israel to show Israel what the holiness of God would look like, and that they could not do it and there had to be a redeemer. Abraham was not under the law. Abraham made a covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham that his descendants would be like the sands of the sea, the stars of the sky, and that through his lineage would come Christ, and the reason that he would be the father of many nations, and the reason is because he believed. Amen. And so faith makes you full. Rahab learned that. Rahab had her family lost everybody else she knew and had grown up with. They all died because of unbelief. But God did not leave her empty because of faith. He brought her in to a brand new family. Amen. By faith. And so Rahab, by faith, did not perish with everybody else, but she was brought into the family of faith. Abraham is the father of faith. That's what the Word tells us. And so Rahab, because she believed it, I'm just trying to drive this home to you, because you've got to get this, faith makes you full. You need to get so full of faith that the family you are now a part of takes over your identity. Amen. Her faith changed her entire identity and her destiny. The Bible still lists her as the harlot, but her whole identity and her whole destiny has changed because of faith. Because she believed. She is brought into the family of God. And there she finds a full life. She doesn't perish with everybody else. Her life becomes full. Why would you want to continue in a place where people are perishing when if you can just believe, you can live in a place of fullness where everybody's living? Amen. Faith makes you full. You can be so full of faith that your identity associates you with God's family. That you can believe for the promises. She had the gall to now believe that every promise that was given to Abraham, to Israel, was hers. Amen. That's what living with Israel meant. And she had the nerve to say someone who was a pagan is now brought in, and she believed that every blessing upon Israel was hers. By faith, she's learning to live full. Romans chapter 4, verse 13, if you want to turn there, says, for the promise that Abraham would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham, but the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. It wasn't to Abraham or his children or Israel through the law, but it was through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is made of no effect. If it only goes to those that are under the law, then faith is no good. That's what he's saying. If you're only an heir of the promises of God because you were born a Jew, then faith is no good. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Do you see that? There's fullness. So we get caught up. I'm just going to say this. We get caught up, and we are to support Israel because they are God's people. We are to stand beside them, and we are to stand with them. And God has made a promise to Israel that he has given them land, and he is going to protect them, and he is going to be with them, and they are his chosen people. And we stand beside that because every nation that will bless Israel will be blessed, and the nations that do not bless Israel will be cursed. And so we stand beside that. But let me say this to you. We've got too many that are trying to go back, and they're trying to, we need to keep the law, and we need to keep all the feasts, and we need to build. No, we don't. We are not brought in because of the law. We are grafted in because of faith. Amen. And we don't need to be ashamed of that. We are not less than because of faith. We are joint heirs because of the grace of God. We don't have to go back and try to keep all the law. That's silly. I get amused sometimes when I watch some, and I'm trying to be a little bit careful here, but I get amused sometimes when I turn on Christian TV and I watch people who are not Jews, and they're dressing in all of the Jewish garb, and they're trying to speak all the Jewish words, and they're talking about all the feasts they got to keep, and I said, that's not going to help you at all. That doesn't make you a Jew. I can wear the prayer shawl. I can do all the stuff. I can go around and keep every feast. My family can move out in the booths, out in the backyard on the Feast of Booths. I can do all that, and it doesn't make me a Jew by birth. I am brought into the promises of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? And I'm not ashamed of that. That's my birthright. That's where I come from. I will honor, I will respect, I will learn, I will see Jesus in every feast, I will see Jesus in every promise, I will see Jesus in every page of the Old Testament, but I am not called to go back to eat those certain types of foods, keep those certain days, do those certain things. Jesus did that. I am called to live by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith has made me full. Faith has made you full. So Rahab learns this. Okay? Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Rahab was justified by her faith because she believed God just like Abraham was. And because of that, she had peace with God. We have it through Jesus Christ. She had it by believing in God and living among his people. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See, come on. We don't hear enough about that. There's our hope, guys. There's our hope. Through whom also Christ, we have access by faith into this grace. hope of the glory of God. Not because of days I keep, or things I wear, or how many times I wash my hands, or wash my cup, or keep the feast. My hope is in Jesus Christ and the grace He has given. And He's brought me into the family. We are joint heirs with Jesus. Amen. Don't let anybody diminish you from that. Don't let anybody take that away. Paul would fight for that. Paul would go in, and that's what his battle was in almost every church he went in and started or was associated with, was to keep the Judaizers from trying to Judaize the Gentile converts. And to take their eyes off of Jesus and put their eyes back on the law. We have to be careful of the very same thing. We do not take our eyes off of Jesus to look to law. We are brought in by faith, and it is the grace of God that has brought us to the family of God. Amen. So the first is by faith. She was full because she was a part of the family of Abraham. Okay? Second thing, go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. I told you we don't have a lot of information about Rahab, but we have enough to put a timeline together. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 4. You know, this is the part of the Bible that we don't read. It's the begats, the lineage. This one had this one. You know what I'm talking about. That's the one you just skip over. We can't pronounce all the names. We butcher about three names and then we just move on. Okay, they all had babies and you just go on. But there's something in here. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 4. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon. And Nashon begot Salmon. How many feel the anointing in that? Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. You look it up. Same Rahab that we've been talking about is now in the lineage. In the New Testament. Rahab the prostitute. Rahab the Gentile harlot. In all these names of all these greatly Abraham's in there. If you go to verse 2, Isaac is there. Jacob is there. Judah is there. You go down a little bit, Jesse is there. David is there. And right in the middle, between Abraham and David, you've got, right in good Oklahoma vernacular, right smack dab in the middle, Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Now, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, that means not only was she engrafted in by faith as a part of the family of Abraham, but now she is a part of the Davidic covenant. Amen. And that may not mean a lot to you right now, but that means she's made it. She's not only a part of the family of Abraham, she's not only traveling with them, the sojourners, those that were traveling through just trying to make a way, fight their way for land, believe in God by faith. But now we read this and she's in the line from Abraham to David. And it was in David that God made a covenant and said, from your house, I will have a king that sits on the throne forever. That's the Davidic covenant. And Rahab is a part of that. She is full because not only is she in the family, she's in the covenant. The covenant of completeness. It was promised to David, and there Rahab is associated with it. She's associated with the faith of Abraham, and she's associated with the covenant of David. Amen. That's pretty good for a prostitute. Right? That's pretty good company. But she's come out of some living full. She's got full benefit. She's not just like an outsider. Here's what hit me. You know, I read that in Joshua to us, and it says they brought them out, and they left them outside the camp. You remember reading that? And then later it said, and she dwelt with Israel until that day. But it hit me. They left her outside the camp for a little while. But she's not outside the camp now. Amen. She's not just at the party. She's in the party. Amen. She's not just a guest, family guest at the wedding. She's in the family procession. Amen. See, some of us, we feel like, well, you know, I thank God for what he brought me out of, but I just don't feel that connection, that fullness. I just always still feel like an outsider. You can go from being an outsider to being an insider because you are a part of the covenant now. Amen. Let me press forward because I'm going to sum it all up together. But that Davidic covenant, God promised David he would have a king on the throne from his house. And Rahab is a part of that. So there now she's in covenant. She's in family. When you get saved, you're in family. But now she's living in covenant. Amen. She changed families, and now she changed covenants. That's power. When are we going to start living in our covenant? Now let me press forward, or else we'll get bogged down. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. Just up a little farther. The book of the genealogy of who? Now hold on. Let's back up now. You remember we were just reading in Matthew 1. You remember that? Down verses 4 and 5? That's where we just were. Remember those weird names? Ram and Amminadab. And that was Matthew 1 and 4. Verse 5 was Salmon. We got Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. But now in verse 1, this book is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the Davidic covenant, the son of Abraham. Now come on now. You're I know you're not seeing it because you don't see what I'm seeing right now. The same thing that's said about Jesus is said about Rahab. The book of Jesus, the genealogy of Jesus, who is the heir of David and an heir of Abraham. Rahab was an heir now of Abraham in the line of David. She is now associated in the lineage of Christ. Without her, he doesn't come. Without a harlot in Jericho who would put faith in God and be brought into the family, linked in to the Davidic covenant, without her, there's lineage missing. Amen. Tell me God's not a good God. Go down to verse 16. Same verse, same chapter, verse 16. And Jacob begot Joseph. Now watch this. This is amazing. Begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Notice this. I want you to see grace at work. Because this whole lineage of Jesus was brought down to Joseph. It was tied into Mary too. But brought down to Joseph. And the Bible says Joseph was the husband of Mary. Doesn't say he was the father of Jesus. He would become the father of Jesus because it would be chosen because Jesus was born of a virgin, Mary. But when looking at the lineage, it happened by Not by works. Because Jesus didn't come through Joseph. But Joseph had to be there as the husband of Mary, whom the Spirit of God overshadowed, and she had a child, was with child of God, the Son of God, and it was by grace that this entire line was brought in. So, she's in the family of Abraham, to be full. She's a part now of a covenant with David, through David, and she's brought in by grace through Christ. If you can understand the family you're a part of, and the promise that goes with that by faith, and you can understand the covenant that God has made that said, I will watch over and I will make sure that everything works out. And you can understand the grace of Jesus Christ that made it all possible. You can move forward. Now, how many believe that's a pretty full life? To go from a prostitute in Jericho to in the family of God, grafted into the covenant of David, and brought in by grace to the lineage of Jesus Christ. It doesn't get much more full than that. Faith is power. That's where we're headed. That's where we're headed. What does Ephesians 2 and 8 say? Russell, can you throw that up for me? Ephesians 2 and 8. We're going to put this together now. That's what we know about Rahab. Okay? The Bible doesn't talk a lot about her other than she had faith. And because of her faith, all this stuff happened. Ephesians 2 and 8, what's it say? For by grace you have been saved. Through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. By faith, Rahab lived full. Because Rahab had faith. And because Rahab had faith, Rahab had family. Let me say this. Because of Rahab's faith, she carried within her the connection to the kingdom. Because of Rahab's faith, she carried within her the connection to the kingdom. Faith connects you to the kingdom and all of its promises. Now watch this. She's in the family. She's in the Davidic covenant. But now she's in the line of Christ. And here's what the Bible says. Jesus said, I came to bring a better covenant. Better than just that Davidic covenant. Better than just that Abrahamic covenant. Better than just the law. I came to bring a new, better covenant. When they were taking the Lord's Supper on the night he would be betrayed, he said, this is the blood of a new covenant. And Rahab is part of that. Faith connects you to the kingdom and all of us. Each of the connections in her lineage are by faith. She's connected to Abraham because she believed in God. She's connected to David because she lived where she was planted. was connected even to Christ and the grace he would bring by faith to remain. Because she remained. Because she didn't go back. Because she stayed. Because she grew where she was planted. She learned to live well. And she lived free. And she lived whole. And because of that, she lived full. Amen. Faith connects you to the kingdom, to Christ, and to all his promises. There are connectors in your life that keep you living full. And those connectors keep you living full of faith, full of covenant, and full of grace. Now let's go back to the three things we ended with last week and tied us together. She accepted. She was accepted, even with her past, because now she's in the promise of Abraham. She's connected to her present because she becomes part of the Davidic covenant. And she was empowered, ready for her future because of the grace of God that would point her to Jesus Christ. Can you and I live full? Yes. If we can believe all things. Somehow, one out of a city believed and turned her life around. Not everybody went with her. She believed. What can happen if we believe? Well, I don't know everything God has planned, but I know this. If we can believe, if we believe, we can come to know Christ as our Savior. Because if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved. Amen? If we can believe, we can be full of His Spirit, because He said, I'm sending another comforter, one just like me. And He's going to come and He's going to empower you and He's going to point you to me. Then He told His disciples, go into the upper room and wait until you receive. Wait until you are endued with, that means clothed with, the Holy Spirit. And He will give you power to be my witnesses if you believe. If we can believe. Do you know, if we can believe, the Bible says, healing can be ours. By His stripes we were healed, talking about Christ. God said in His Word, Psalm 107:20, He sent His Word and healed them. The Bible says when Jesus walked on this earth, everywhere He went that He found faith, He could provide miracles. When they would not believe, they could not receive their miracles. But the Bible says if you believe that you receive when you pray, you can have those things you're asking for. By faith. If you believe, then you don't have to live in fear of what's coming. Because if you believe in Christ, you're not given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. All the stuff of our world doesn't shake us. Why? Because we believe in Jesus. We believe He has a plan. We believe He has a purpose. If we believe, we will live for eternity with Him. Find them believing.